Well, okay. I have a question for you. Where are we?
Church.
Yes! Woohoo! Good job. A plus. Okay. What makes a church?
God.
God, people. Oh my gosh, you guys are too smart. Church is one of those words that can have two meanings. Could be the building, but really, when we talk about it, it's the congregation. It's the people. So, can then we be a church in other places?
Yes.
Yeah. We can be a church at a coffee shop. We can be a church at a house. What else does a church do other than coming together on a Sunday morning for worship?
Help others.
What was God. Praise God everywhere we are. Help each other. Commune together. Have fun together. Support one another. It's not a social club. God has to be part of it. But we also come together to do good for one another and for the world. Now, not everyone goes to church. There's lots of reasons for that. We're not going to get into that today. So we're here to ask the question, why do people go?
Because we love God.
Faith? We love God?
To learn?
Communion? Why is having a church so important for us?
Fellowship?
Support? People to walk with us on our faith journey, or when life is challenging, or when life is joyful, to have people to celebrate with? All these things. Well, in our story today from the Bible, part of what we will hear is Jesus gathering to himself a church. First John the Baptist, who Jesus came to see, points Jesus out to his own disciples. And then his own disciples go after Jesus. And then Jesus invites others. And some of them go and invite others. But in John's gospel, the very first thing Jesus does after he's baptized is build a church for himself. Because he needs people to go with him. He needs to not be alone. It's not about people following him as much as people journeying with him. So, what do you think? If Jesus thought having a church was a good idea, then is that maybe a good idea for us, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're preaching to the choir here, because you all have figured this out. But look around. Look at the people here today. Oh, it's okay. You can turn your heads. These are the people you've chosen to be in community with today, whether just for this hour or maybe for years and years. These people are part of your family. So think on this. How can we grow together this year? How can we work together? How can we solve problems together? Who might you know you might invite into this family, into this circle? Who might need a loving, supportive, extra family? So I'm glad we have found each other, that we have found church together. And I'm even more glad when we show up for each other outside of a Sunday. And I see that happening all the time. People calling on people, checking on people, helping one another out. And so that is church. So our lectionary takes us away from Matthew temporarily today. Last week in Matthew, Jesus got baptized, and if we keep reading, just as we did our Bible study on Thursday, in Matthew, Jesus goes straight into temptations. In John, we don't have temptations, and he gets straight away at building his church. And that's the passage the lectionary has for us today. Now, while that is an important lesson, we're going to change directions after the passage is read. And as you listen, I want you to listen to the word that John starts with both of the times he speaks to his disciples. So Cindy, or her alternate personality, Lulu, is going to read the passage for us, and it will be on the screen. This is from John 1, 29 through 42.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one about whom I said, 'He who comes after me is really greater than me because he existed before me.' Even I didn't recognize him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be made known to Israel." John testified, "I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and it rested on him. Even I didn't recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit coming down and resting is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and testified that this one is God's Son." The next day, John was standing again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus walking along, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he asked, "What are you looking for?" They said, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" He replied, "Come and see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two disciples who heard what John said and followed Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. He led him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Cindy. "Look," says John. "Look, there he goes. There goes Jesus." And later he says, "Look, the Lamb of God." We hear that line twice. And then later Jesus asks the people, "What are you looking for?" And then later he says, "Come and see." So mixed into all these verses about calling disciples and identifying Jesus as the Lamb of God, there's this theme of noticing, looking, seeing. So I'd like for us to consider what this might mean for us today. Jesus isn't walking among us, but the living Christ is. Jesus' Spirit is at work among us, in us, through us. We speak of God's presence in the world, but then we spend a lot of our time talking about the evil we see happening around us, feeling worried and disheartened at the state of affairs, and we start to lose sight of where God is breaking in. Where are we looking for Jesus? What is he beckoning us to come and see in the world today? Why is it important to keep looking? At my other job as a speech therapist, I've been serving the youngest and most verbally challenged kids of our district the last couple of years, the ones who have either no or next to no speech at all. Most of them have autism. Now, one strategy is to model phrases for them, because sometimes they will learn language in whole chunks rather than learning the pieces and then putting them together themselves. One of the experts I follow suggests teaching the phrase, "Look at that," early on, because it helps build connection, which they always need help usually building connection. It encourages sharing focus on something with someone else rather than just talking to get their needs met. Think of how many times in your life you've said some variation of, "Look at that." We use it to draw the attention of another into whatever we're looking at, something that has caused us wonder, something that has brought us to a moment of awe, it's almost automatic to say it. Even when we know the person is also looking at the same thing, we just automatically say it. It's like we want to affirm that we're sharing this experience. We see the full moon. We say, oh, wow, look at that. Or we see a rainbow and we tell the person right next to us, look at that rainbow. Some people joke about them being the one in the car on a trip that will always say, look, a cow, when they see a cow. What is it about sharing these experiences that is so important and almost second nature to us? Where two or three are gathered. Maybe there's something akin to worship going on in those moments. Maybe look at that is slang for join me in this moment of awe and give thanks. Awe evokes praise and worship without words. It comes from our depths. It's beyond words. It's our soul saying, wow, thank you. Nature reminds us always that the goodness of God is with us. Driving up to Fall River on Friday as the sun set behind us, I said those same words, look at that, to Eric, my husband. Because as you know, in the winter sky, the sky opposite of the sunset has this pink and blue together that's just magical. And lately, the glow in the west after the sun has set has truly been this glow of yellows and corals and changes to oranges, and it's been awe-evoking. As we look at headlines and the stories behind the headlines, we can come to a place of asking if there is good in the world. And in nature, God says, look at that, reminding us, yes, God is good, God is present, if only we look. But we can see goodness, we can see God's movement among us in our daily lives, especially if we remind ourselves to look. So on Friday, thinking about this sermon, I set out to see what would catch my eye if I was intentionally looking. Now, Friday's a work day, so a lot of that day was working. But one of the first things I saw, as I sporadically remembered to look, was this great big raven sitting on the rack of a car, just hanging out. And I love ravens. And so I just was happy to see it. And of course, I always talk to them. I haven't trained any of them to come to me yet, but I'll work on that when I'm retired, maybe. And then later, I was walking around a school campus, and in the neighborhood, I heard somebody yell, here, kitty, 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 just like you do when you're calling your cat. And it just made me smile to think of someone going about their life, their morning, having a very ordinary experience, but it's a similar experience to something I have done. And how great is it that we live in the place and in a way that can include pets?
Amen.
And then an hour or two later, I noted that in the middle of this rose garden, which sorely needs trimmed, it's definitely looking completely dormant. But there on the top of these tall branches were some pink roses struggling to hold on. But that pink bloom contrasted with the almost dead, thorny-looking bushes was just such a metaphor sometimes for our lives. A little bit of beauty, even in the harshness. And then the last thing that caught my attention while I was busy with my workday was the song of frogs. Walking across campus, there's a creek that runs in the property right next to ours. And in the spring when it's wet, the frogs sing and sing and sing and get really, really loud sometimes. But it was just, Beautiful. I can tell you on Friday, I noticed a lot more because I set out to look. But we see goodness in all the people around us as well. In conversations where you hear people laughing, you see people walking together on the river trail, talking, having friendships, it's just beautiful. Goodness happening among people is really where Jesus' presence is seen. Last week on CBS Sunday Morning, there was a short feature about a man who was continuing to drive a truck that was so mangled, it looked like it was the after picture of a destruction derby vehicle. I don't know if any of you saw this. I have two pictures of it. Can you go to the first picture? So there's the side view, and then one other picture, you can see the...
Oh my goodness.
You can go to the next picture. So, Indiana doesn't have vehicle inspections, hence he can continue to drive this, and does. And they asked him, like, what happened? And he's like, maybe ask what didn't happen, because the list is too long. But as happens nowadays on the internet, somebody snapped a photo and posted it, and people were commenting, oh my gosh, and they different people in his town had seen this truck and chimed in. But a local owner of a car detailing shop saw these posts and thought, I wonder what's happening here. Because clearly, this is someone who's not able to get it fixed or to get a new vehicle. And so he met with the person and talked to him and learned that this was indeed the person's only means of transportation. He's a hard worker all his life, but working at Dollar Tree and had been having some health problems. So money was going toward doctor visits and things like that. So this curiosity of the detail shop owner caused him to learn what was really happening and inspired him to raise funds for this guy. Some of you know the term crowdfunding. They start a fundraiser online, strangers pop in, give $50, give $20. And last week, the community presented him with a new to him used truck, nice looking 2019, nice looking truck. And the man, Mo, spoke about his awe, not just of having a truck, that was great, but the awe of the community coming together to help out someone they don't know. He said that was more astonishing than the truck itself. Look, there goes the Lamb of God. Jesus shows up to us in the neighbor in need, and Jesus shows up to us in the hands that help alleviate the need. God's goodness shows up to us in the sound of frogs, in the color of sunsets, in the presence of friends and pets. The question is, do we look? Are we open to seeing the signs of God's kingdom present among us? Maybe when we pray, "Your kingdom come," it's not meant to be an ask, but an observation, a statement of fact. It has come. It continues to come. It will come. Let's honor and worship the kingdom by looking, standing in awe and wonder, and sharing with others, inviting others to see, to look, and notice the goodness of God all around us. So when we share our joys today, think of it as a chance to say, look, see what God is doing among us. Let this be a practice session for when we go out into the world and we're with friends or people we want to know better, and we can say, look, the presence of God is here. This is goodness happening all around us. Let's be witnesses more to the goodness than to the evil. Amen.
Amen.